1 year ago today in Afghanistan, the Taliban marched into the capital, Kabul, and sealed their return to power.
We're here right now with the Taliban as they enter into the what was only minutes ago was an American-controlled portion of the military airport. Now they've taken over.
That's LA Times reporter Nabi Boulos in a recording he shared with NPR. You may remember images of chaos at the Kabul airport as U.S. forces scrambled to pull out. On August 31st of last year, the president made it official.
Last night in Kabul, the United States ended 20 years of war in Afghanistan, the longest war in American history.
Here's the toll of that war, according to the Cost of War Project at Brown University. More than 100,000 Afghan forces and civilians died, as did 2,300 Americans and 1,100 members of coalition forces. In dollar terms, the war and occupation tallied $2 trillion at least. But let's talk now about the people of Afghanistan and their scars. Kathy Gannon covered Afghanistan and Pakistan for 3 decades, and she just retired from the Associated Press. Kathy, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Scott. Good to be here.
Now, Kathy, I understand you've recently retired after more than 3 decades covering Afghanistan. You've said that in the 90s, a lot of Afghans had hope and not so much today. And I wonder if you have an anecdote or a conversation you've had on the ground there that kind of illustrates what you mean?
Yeah, I guess with each successive new regime in Afghanistan, Afghans have had hope, whether it was in the early 90s when the Mujahideen came in after the Soviets and the communist government left, or then even when the Taliban came in 96. And then in 2001, when the Taliban were driven out and the U.S.-led coalition came in, there was really a great deal of hope. And I think the biggest thing for me is that for most Afghans, they thought, my goodness, the world has come. 42 countries. It's going to be great. It's going to be prosperous. This is really our chance. And then as it got on to 2010, 2015, 2018, there was so little hope. And even Gallup, for example, did a poll in 2018. It was the lowest score ever that they received to the question, how much hope do you have for the future? When the Americans left August 15th in 2021, when the Taliban came in, and August 16th, when you had the iconic images of people grasping onto the wheels and desperate to leave, those were people who were just had no faith in the future. It wasn't fear so much that was driving them out. It was just that, my goodness, if at this point in Afghanistan's history that the entire world is leaving Afghanistan, there was no hope and there was just a tremendous uncertainty. So I think there's a real look that has to be taken at where Afghans were failed by the international community over the 20 years. Those dramatic, iconic images weren't just about August 15th, Taliban coming in, the withdrawal. It was really a buildup, and that was sort of the crescendo, if you will, to all that did not happen. There was desperation.
Yeah. And since then, since that desperation, as you describe, help us get a sense of where life is today. Say, when you look at the essentials of daily life, shelter, food, physical security, what does it look like now?
You have to keep in mind that 80% of the budget pre-Taliban was international money, all of which is gone. The mass evacuation of some of the best minds, of the healthcare workers, of the journalists, of the people who had education that were loaded onto planes and taken out of the country, left Afghanistan with a real lack of skilled people that they needed and no money to run the clinics, the hospitals. And so here it is a year on with very little money, and people are desperate for food, for a shelter, for just the basic, there's premature deaths at birth. There isn't enough medicine. There aren't enough facilities. Security is better in many parts of the country. Travel throughout the country is much easier, so NGOs, charities can move throughout the country, and that's a plus. But there's still a great deal of uncertainty. People don't know what tomorrow will bring. $9.8 billion in Afghan reserves are still not available to Afghans, so business people can access money. Ordinary Afghans can access only $200 every 2 weeks.
That is a cap on what they can withdraw from if they have a bank account?
Exactly, because there just isn't the money. And the reserves that belong to Afghans has not been returned to Afghans. And the Taliban are trying to transition from war to peace. And there are deep divisions within the Taliban leadership itself. And there are those among the Taliban who want to engage, who want girls to go to school, who want to see Afghanistan move forward, keeping in mind it's a deeply conservative country and that vast tracts of the country are still and have been for centuries governed by tribal traditions. But there is a portion of the leadership as well, Scott, that would like to definitely see a return to Afghanistan of the 1996 when the Taliban last ruled, when there was no photography, when there was no TV, when there was real strict controls, and who governed by strict tribal traditions that they dress up as Islamic injunctions.
And can I ask you about this other faction, these competing factions within the Taliban? Tell us a little bit more about the other faction, the more, I don't know what the word is, the modern political wing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are those among the leadership and strong voices among the leadership who want to engage. How they want to engage, how that engagement looks, that is to be worked out between the rest of the world and the Taliban. But they do want to engage. They do recognize that girls have to go to school, that they should go to school. I mean, so many of the Taliban leadership, they educate their girls. But there is a portion of the leadership and a strong group within the leadership who are tied deeply to these tribal traditions and who want to see and believe that Afghanistan should stay in that strict tribal traditions of girls married to puberty, that education is a construct of the West. And so those who would like to engage in many ways are just ignoring some of these edicts, Scott. For example, that women cannot travel alone. That's just being ignored. And women are traveling alone. There are women in the workforce. There are women at the airport working at customs.
Oh, so it's you're painting a much more nuanced picture than many of us might assume.
Well, exactly. Okay. But that's not the way to run the country, obviously. You can't just say, well, we'll just ignore those that we don't like. And, you know, that's what creates that uncertainty for people and that confusion for Afghans, and that you just don't know tomorrow what's going to happen. You don't know whether another edict will come down. And for women, it's very, very difficult, and especially for women in the cities and women who have worked before.
Kathy, we've mentioned you've recently retired. I want to ask you about something you wrote about. You were badly shot there in 2014, and tragically, your colleague, a photojournalist, Anya Niedringhaus, died at your side. You needed 18 surgeries to recover. But I want to ask you about this. You have said the Afghan police officer who shot you does not represent the people as much as the doctor in the hospital who treated you in host Afghanistan. What do you mean?
Yes. You know, before I went into surgery, because I had surgery in Host, which is where the shooting happened in eastern Afghanistan, a small little hospital with barely nothing. And he said, to try to put my mind at ease, I just want you to know that your life is as important to me as it is to you. And he was so worried that I would be okay. And at this point, I'd been shot 7 times and I'd lost a lot of blood. And I just thought, I was so grateful for those words. And I went back to Afghanistan and worked steadily after, in between operations and after the last of the operations. And I still have therapy every year. I'm fortunate in so many ways.
We've been talking to Kathy Gannon, who spent 35 years covering Afghanistan with the Associated Press. Kathy Gannon, so good to talk to you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate it.